Arkansas's first comprehensive and dedicated men's health clinic focused on testosterone therapy and life-saving preventative screenings. On the web at epicmenshealth.com.
Ole Miss is going to have it first and 10. They'll snap it twice and that'll be it. The Ole Miss linemen stay right at the line of scrimmage. They step back a couple of steps. They'll snap it once more and the ball game will be over. Ole Miss going to move to 6-3. Hogs are going to drop to 3-7. Wallace takes a knee and this football game is over. Ole Miss has won it 34-24.
Anytime that you put yourself in the position that we were in today, have a chance to win a game and you can't pull it out just because of some things that fundamentally break down for us. We obviously can't give up long pass plays. Those two pass plays absolutely positively killed us.
Welcome into the zone. Coming to you live today from the Little Rock Touchdown Club, Justin Akre, Phil Elson. We appreciate you tuning in today. We will be joined a little bit later by the featured speakers here at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, Roland Sales and Ike Forte. Matty T back in the Fury Electric studio. A lot to catch up on from over the weekend, both in college football, the NFL, and otherwise. And congratulations to Phil and the Henderson State Reddies.
Yeah, another not just a win, but a conference championship for the third time in the last 4 years.
That is true.
They look great against Southern Arkansas, and got the big Battle of the Ravine coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, big one for you guys to stay in the position you're in or maybe improving your position in the postseason as far as the brackets go.
And that's right. And I think it's today or tomorrow the Super Region standings will come out. We'll find out where Henderson sits. They were fifth in the Super Region standings, which would put them on the road for a first-round playoff game. And we're thinking that a victory this weekend ought to move them into a place where they could get a home game.
What are the odds that another team from the GAC can get in?
Probably not with two losses, and Harding has a couple of losses, so I think that probably not going to happen this year. Probably be one team out of the GAC.
As does Ouachita, which I'm sure would love to finish 8-2 this year with a win over Henderson, their rivals. And in addition to the Little Rock Touchdown Club meeting today, we've got the Battle of the Ravine press conference today. We're actually going to be joined at 11 o'clock by Todd Knight, so you play nice, all right?
I'll keep my hands to myself, I promise.
Well, if you guys got into a scuffle, I would like his chances, so I think he should be very nice to him. We'll also be joined at the bottom of this hour. Talk a little hoops, UALR. Thank you so much. UALR is going to be on the court tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. UALR is going to be on the court tonight against North Florida. And North Florida is staying here at the Embassy Suites out here in West Little Rock where we are located today. And UALR hoping to get off on the right foot. Nice write-up on Will Neighbor today. And Will been working hard in the gym, it sounds like, trying to stay healthy, get healthy. He's worked to get stronger in the offseason. So hopefully that all pays off in the way of a good performance tonight and a good season for him.
It would be interesting to talk with Joe Klein about how he's worked with Will Neighbor. Obviously, Joe's specialty is the men in the paint. And Will, you know, I think I get the sense that Will's known more for his ability to shoot from the outside, a seven-footer with the ability to hit the three. But if he's able to control the paint and score a little bit in the lane, I think UALR will be a better team.
Well, we are also going to spend some time talking about the Arkansas game over the weekend, and I think I've said this, I don't know, half the season, maybe three-fourths of the season so far, I was encouraged in a loss, and it's unfortunately been a recurring theme, but a lot of good things happening. In addition to Ike Forte and Roland Sales, we're going to visit with later, get the bonus razor back today, Muskie Harris, hanging out today, and looking.
Good morning.
I mean, always
morning.
Looking sharp, but really, I like the bow tie.
Thank you.
Looking especially sharp.
Not everybody can rock the bow tie. You do a good job.
You really
that.
Do. You actually. Oh, thank you. Most people look like, basically, if you are kind of like me and you're sort of on the fence, you go straight 100% nerd if you throw on a bow tie. But you actually become even cooler with the bow tie on, and you're already super cool.
Thank you.
I consider myself on the fence. I maybe give myself too much credit that without the bow tie, I'm on the fence between nerdiness and okay.
And that's the thing that pushes you over, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So if there's any question, sure. I don't even own a bow tie. I would like to learn. I've talked to Doug Kilgore, who's the athletic director at CAC, who's well known for his repertoire of fantastic bow ties, and he's agreed to teach me how to tie. Until I can tie my own, I ain't doing no clip-on.
No.
Did you tie that?
No.
Okay.
This is strapped on.
It looks nice, though.
That makes me feel better because it does look good. My father, I got this bow tie sent to me out of the blue 2 months ago, and I'm like, well, who sent me this thing? And it's not one of those clip-on. You actually have to know how to tie it.
Right.
My father calls me the next day and says, did you get the present? Like, what are you buying this for me for? It's not my birthday. It's not an anniversary. I don't even know how to tie the stupid thing.
It's
five ways to tie a regular tie, so now try to tie a bow tie. I said, nah. let me just go ahead and get it put together and clip it on.
So Roland and Ike today.
Yeah, they're in town.
It's be fun. Sounds like a group, musical group.
It's a reunion.
That's good.
The Arrowhead and
what years were you in school?
73, 78.
Okay, so you were there
with both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was redshirted during Ike's Cotton Bowl year.
Who was the fastest out of the three of you?
I will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we put that to test later on today in the parking lot?
No.
does Roland, in the Orange Bowl, does Roland have one of the top 10 performances in Razorback history?
Yes.
Is it a top 5 performance in Razorback history?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yes.
One of the greatest moments in Razorback history, and now Arkansas fans are mired in one of the lowest points in the school's history as far as the actual performance and the outcome on the field. I don't think the performance is so pathetic. But certainly the losing streak is very hard to stomach.
We're a program that's not used to winning. And now we're going through a losing situation, and now we have to come together. We have to let the kids know that we're in a rebuilding, and as a former athlete in Razorback, my pride's not going to change. I mean, I'm down on them, yes, but I know we can rebuild. Mm-hmm. No one is going to get all 7 million athletes at one school. So, hey, let's get our 25, and let's build a fence around the state because it's the pride here that we've got to instill that the kids, hey, we need you up there because when you're losing, they run away.
How important is it for something positive near the end of this season to go into the off season feeling good about yourself? And I'm pointing to the Mississippi State game because as far as I can tell, I mean, I've thought that's the only winnable game on the schedule for the last month nonetheless, and they have it. I mean, it's a game they can win. How important is that?
You watch them sneak up and give old LSU trouble.
I don't know.
Well, out of the last two games, they have not laid down. We've made some mental mistakes, and, you know, mental mistakes will beat you. And we don't have the talent to match up, and that is exposed. So showing up, playing competitive, the crowd, please show up and show your support that these kids are making a sacrifice. I mean, they are still putting that helmet on, going through pain.
Yeah, and that's, and again, I'm encouraged, and I'm sure you had a chance to watch the game this weekend. And watching
I
it,
did.
You know, again, I think they're doing a lot of things right. A lot of times in the passing game, just to be honest, I leave myself, you know, I find myself scratching my head, going, "What's the goal there? What was the goal in that play?" Now, luckily, they did. You know, you saw one drive, and you see these glimmers of hope where they're like, "Pound it, pound it, pound it." You know, they do some interesting things in the run game, and then all of a sudden they pull up and throw a touchdown to the tight end who is wide open. Those are the kinds of things we expect to see more on a regular basis, and you feel like they're building the program to be able to do that, which I think that's fun football. I love watching teams sort of beat them by 1,000 paper cuts.
Right.
I mean, it's fun having the teams like Baylor that can beat you on the home run. But,
yes.
Man, when you've got that kind of grinded out, I think you can do what Arkansas is trying to do on a more consistent basis. Because you see so often these spread teams, and you saw in the Stanford-Oregon game, these spread teams will occasionally lay an egg, and everybody's waiting for Baylor. Nobody will give Baylor their love. Nobody will give them the respect. And they're better defensively than a lot of these spread teams have been. But everybody's waiting for that see-I-told-you moment. And whether it's going to come against Oklahoma State or it's going to come against Texas, everybody believes that it's going to happen. My issue with that is, and again, my whole point of this is I'm glad Arkansas is doing what they're doing. But you can't have it both ways because everybody's like, well, Stanford's a great team. They just beat Oregon. Yeah, I know they have one loss, but they're a great team. They beat Oregon. Okay, cool. I give you that. But you can't have it both ways. You can't have, hey, I think Stanford's really good, and I think they should be higher up. And then the other thing of it is people say, well, Ohio State. You know, yeah, they're undefeated, but they're not any good. They haven't beat anybody. Well, that's fine. I'll give you that too. But Stanford lost, and they may have played some people, but if you have to play some people to get the respect, but y'all just have to beat all of them.
Yes.
I think Baylor's going to win out. I really do.
Well, parity's in college football and it's been in, and just because you have a high, big name and everybody know you, you think that's supposed to be the better team.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that 25 scholarship limit, it has made a level playing field, and now you have to find the right athletes that can produce for you weekly.
Florida State, Alabama. I'm at the point now where, and I know a lot of SEC fans and Arkansas fans will get mad at this. I can't root for Alabama. I can't root for the SEC anymore. I'm tired of it. How many more times does Alabama have to win? At what point does it become diminishing returns for Arkansas fans and other SEC fans?
I love Alabama. I love what they're doing. I love his concept, and the players have bought into it, and every player from the water boy to the now the students are into it.
Yeah, well, they don't have any choice, so they're going to lose their seats. You better get into it if you're not.
You better get into it. But
I hear they're going to start chaining them into those seats.
They're like when we grew up with Boston. I hated Boston. And as I developed in playing, I loved Boston, what they're doing, because it was perfection. It was teamwork.
Yeah.
And that's what Alabama, it's teamwork.
There's no question. No, they're a great team, without a doubt. Let's can we bring in Ike?
Yes.
Got the headset there. Texarkana, Arkansas native. He's from the good side of the tracks.
Number 85.
What you call a good track?
The Arkansas side.
Well, actually, I'm from the Texas side.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think some bad information. The information, I can't believe everything you read. It just goes to show you. So were you being were you pursued by Texas schools too, I assume?
Oh, yes.
So how did you decide Arkansas was the place?
Well, actually, I was going to Oklahoma.
Really?
Of all schools.
Yes. Barry Switzer. Barry was a head coach down there. And they had running backs like Joe Washington.
David Lee Stewart, wasn't he over there too?
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, Oklahoma was the place for me.
Okay.
And after I went down to Tyler Junior College, there was a guy named Earl Campbell was the big name down there.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Was he? Barry told Earl, he said, Earl, we hadn't signed a quality back yet.
Oh.
We need you. Well, I got wind of that. So, well, you don't think I'm quality. I need to find somewhere else to play.
So you didn't go there, and Earl didn't go there. So Barry didn't get either one of you.
Right.
That worked out fine.
And, Arkansas had a guy named Leroy Montgomery, who was a recruiting coordinator. And, man, he stayed on me. After I told him that, he just kept on coming. He just kept on talking to me. That's the best thing ever happened to me.
Is that right?
And he got me signed and come to Arkansas. And I guess within a day, I signed and drove up to Fayetteville, Arkansas.
But it was a recruiting party, remember?
He stayed with me. When you got some players that you want, you just can't go down and say, hey, look, we want you to come to Arkansas. You got to stay on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear Muskie was talking. That's what Alabama do, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And
well, it changed a lot, too.
Tell all these four-star, five-star players, hey, look, you going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Come to Arkansas and you going to play.
Yeah, it is. It's changed so much, too, and you hear about kids every so often. They got 100 pieces of mail from one school in a day.
Right.
I'm not sure what good is done there,
right.
But obviously there's a lot of other ways to contact kids now. Certainly things have changed, as far as whether it's Twitter, Facebook, email, text. I mean, there's a million ways to get a kid now.
Well, I'm sure.
Right, the social media plays a major tool in recruiting now. And kids, look at the marketing of football. I mean, we can't wait till football season start. Even when football season's not going,
right,
we're talking about football.
Right.
So, well, when it's here, it's impacted.
Yeah, well, we finally got to the point now where, we've got obviously, football season. Then it's over. We enjoy the bowl games. And then you're right into recruiting season. And we cover it closely until signing day in February. And then you're on it, with there's meetings and there's all kinds of things now through the summer. I mean, there's always something going on. So from our perspective, it allows us to feed the beast that is the
yes.
Arkansas football fan or any college football fan at this point. They want their year-round coverage. I mean, Drive Time was kind of on this early.
Yeah.
They've been doing it for a long time. We started, and it is easier for us because they were always making something up. There was always something to talk about, but we've been given more opportunities and more actual meat to sort of share during the offseason or what's, sort of assumed to be the offseason, but it's really always on, it seems like.
Yeah.
And Justin, it's like the first one to get the news. Rick Schaefer was even talking about it. I mean, in 3 seconds, if Ike fumbled and did something wrong, everybody knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just like you said, feeding the beast.
That's right.
And the kids now on the recruiting, they're fed, and then someone decide, well, we don't want you. And then, recruiting is different now, going to school where when we were signed, we were there for a 5-year, 4 years to play, and you could get redshirted. Now it's spring to spring.
Yeah.
If they recruit you and you don't produce, they let you go and say, well, hey, you can go find another place. Well, that's tough on a kid.
It's kind of like the NFL. It's a contract that's not guaranteed.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It is interesting. We're joined by Muskie Harris and Ike Forte. We'll be joined by Roland Sales later. But, your two positions focused on mightily at Arkansas this year. Obviously running back in a good way and defensive back, not so much. So, when you look at this offense and you think about what Coach Bielema is trying to do, and it's no surprise and it's no mystery what he's trying to build up there and his approach. We've seen it work at a high level at Wisconsin, but I would think that as a running back, this would be the kind of thing you want to get yourself into, right?
Yes. You know, I was thinking about that on the way to Little Rock. And a running back, this is his dream. Mm-hmm. And to have number of running backs in a position on a team is competition. And you strive on competition. Competition make you better. Mm-hmm. I'm looking back on the years when we played. Jerry Eckwood, Ben Cowan, mm-hmm. Roland Fuchs. Those guys, when you are in the game, hey, look, you got to produce. Or else, hey, look, if you don't, or in practice,
Michael Forrest,
mm-hmm. somebody gonna come in and take your spot,
right?
And what coach is doing now? Hey, look, you can win games. Look at you was talking about Stanford.
Oh goodness,
over Oregon. Hey, they controlled the football game. They controlled the running game. They controlled the time on the clock.
He ran 45 times. Carrot 45
the one
times.
Kid, yeah.
Oregon could not get on the field for their offense because Stanford, hey, look, 5 yards, 6 yards.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a matter of fooling your opponent. Oregon knew what was coming at him.
We coming. We going to drive.
They ran the same play 3 times in a row.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, stop it.
They kept calling pulling that backside lineman. Yeah. The lead play, man, they couldn't stop him. It's like, we're going to go right there.
We in this age of run and shoot, shotgun and all that. Hey, guys, they pretty much doing the same thing we did 30 years ago. Football is still basic. Running and tackling. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
And play to your strengths, essentially. Right, I mean, exactly. that's Stanford's strength.
Leading right into, like you're saying, as a defensive back, we didn't play a lot of man. It was a lot of zone. And we had a lot of good quarterback. Tommy Kramer was in the conference, the guy from SMU. But mainly it was running. You know, A&M had Dickey and Woodard. Baylor had Abercrombie and Hawthorne.
You guys been around a lot. You've actually seen Baylor good before.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
You had to have been around a while.
Yeah.
To see Baylor good before now.
And I look at the defense back because you always go and you're real critical of your position. Exactly. Everybody is always real critical. And I look at the kids and I'm wondering what technique are they being taught mm-hmm. to read their keys that I'm out here lined up on this man. This is my man. Ball or wide receiver. And why am I looking in the backfield? And this guy's running. I don't understand that.
It has been since the late 90s, I think, since we've seen defensive backs with great ball skills. I mean, and then you see guys that were great athletes, and they got recruited, or, you know, they were recruited highly, and then they end up going like a guy like Carroll. Mm-hmm. The guy was clueless, but an unbelievable athlete.
Yes.
And you can understand why he was so highly recruited. But, I mean, look at him. He fizzled out in the NFL immediately because the guy has no ball skills.
Right.
It's amazing to me, though, that those guys, it seems like, when you think about the guys that were here when Houston first got here, and obviously guys that played in your era, I mean, mm-hmm. I think about Barrett and some of the safeties that went through there when he was there.
Water.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. they've had so many good guys come through there. And, again, the cornerbacks are what really kills me. They've had some good safety play. We're going to talk to Matt Harris a little later. He was pretty solid. I mean, hey,
right.
Matt's not a 4-3 guy, but, I mean, he played well. He understood the game, it seems like. But corner-wise, it's obviously a very difficult position.
Matt lined up right. He knew how to read the defense, read the offense. And if you put yourself in the right position – 50% of the time, you're going to be able to make a good defensive play.
So, Ike, what are you doing now?
Well, I work for a living now.
What's that like?
Well,
you should have got into Sports Talk Radio. They don't make us work.
It pays the bills.
Are you back in Texarkana?
Yes, I am. I live with my wife.
She's here.
Most guys do.
It's a good thing nobody else is living with
you. You know why? Because nobody gave him another option. But, you know.
But yeah.
Trust me, if you offer my wife a better option, she might take you up on it. But
living in Texarkana, and I work for a company, Cooper Tire and Rubber Company. We make automobile
Huge.
Tires. And we're looking to be bought out by a Chandler company, which the merger hadn't come through yet.
Okay.
And so as soon as that happens.
That's what we call insider trading. Phil, we need to go right to Wall Street after the show today so we can load up on that.
I don't know if that's going to work.
25 cents or so.
But to pull together a buck.
We're doing fine. We pay the bills, and my wife, she's a retired nurse.
You're a granddaddy.
I am a granddaddy.
We got any Got any youngsters coming up that we need to keep an eye on? Any,
well,
any
we had,
recruits?
We had one who was a baseball player, and he fizzled out, which I was hoping to be a football player, but he wasn't tough.
Baseball's okay.
Not bad. You know, but I called him, that was mama's boy. Mm-hmm. But,
oh, boy. But you know what? They should have had Richie Incognito work with him. Could have toughened him up for sure.
Of course.
Maybe not.
There's a piece of work.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. He's finally talking. I will say this. He did not hurt himself, I don't think, talking to Jay Glazer. He was actually far more articulate than I had anticipated.
I mean, I don't know if I can believe anything he's saying.
Well, there may be that. That's bullying. Another facet of it.
Who bullied us when we were?
I don't know anything about the bullying. I don't know what to deal about with. Don't get me started on
it. It's different eras, for one thing. I mean, completely different eras.
Did you, have you and Roland, did you guys get together and work on your presentation today, or you guys going to wing it?
I'm going to wing it.
Okay.
I'm sure like Roland that. Got something together, but okay. I'm not going
to
wing it.
A good running back is creative. He knows what to do when he gets up there in front of some people.
Bass is taking the anxiety. Ike called me last week. He said, now, what is the touchdown club like? And I led him on. I said, man, you got to have about a two-page letter ready. He said, what? I said, no, Baz is not going to put y'all in a position like that. Dude.
Get yourself a speechwriter.
I need one.
Well, we'll take a timeout. Great catching up with you. And Muskie, always a pleasure to see you. And we're looking forward to seeing. What time is Roland expected to roll in?
He should be in here about 20 minutes.
Okay, good deal. We're going to visit with Joe Klein. And when he gets here, you'll notice him.
I need to.
He's out in the lobby right now, intimidating the North Florida team who's here. They're playing UALR tonight.
They're scattering around this hotel, thinking, "I got to play against this guy."
Yeah, it is. You get all military folks in free tonight at the UALR game, and if you come in with a military ID, whether you're active or former military, you can get yourself and four others in with you. So up to five total. Great deal. Also, our friends down at Sticky's doing free lunch for veterans. So you show your military ID, free lunch from 11 to 2 today.